I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will get the stories behind the stories. And today I've got a story. I shouldn't say it's a story. I'm going to tell you about something that's happened here in the United States that I had no idea about. This took place last year. It's probably an ongoing story of corruption. But as much as I pay attention to the news, I had never actually seen this in print or understood the details of exactly what's going on with our federal government. So I'm going to give you the true story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda, because people need to wake up. I am the rooster, and it is time to wake up. This is another bipartisan effort to destroy the United States, I would say, to loot the United States. I'm kind of pumped up about this story. I'll get to it in a minute. I'm almost over-teasing it. But I'll tell you, when I first read it and just had one source for it, I said, I don't think this is really possible. This must be some hyperbole. And so I started to do some research, which was not easy. That's what you'll get with this show for 2 hours. You'll get long trains of research, hours and hours of research into things that you won't hear on any other show. So stay tuned for that. This should be an eye-opener for everybody. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinking, and I'm going to call on you to use that today for sure. It is the 75th anniversary of D-Day today, and I've been watching some of the remembrances and some of the, you know, we're seeing Arlington, we're seeing the graveyards in France. It's really it's a solemn day. D-Day was actually an amazing and horrific day. It seemed to have turned the tide of history, and there certainly the day itself and the men who died that day deserve the honors that are being given to them today. I got to tell you, I don't know, for all of the faults of Steven Spielberg, I believe Steven Spielberg is currently working on content for Netflix with Barack Obama right now. And we know the Hollywood left, as they tilt their political opinions and try to influence our culture towards this weird leftism that has emerged. He nailed it with Saving Private Ryan. I had never seen anything like that. The opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan, which take you onto the beaches of Normandy, were some of the things that kind of brought home really the horror of being involved in that. And I started reading some accounts of what took place from diaries of guys and from on the ground accounts of what happened in D-Day. And I just cannot imagine just the sheer terror of what was involved in that day for the guys who landed on that beach. You know, each of us like to think that we would really rise up and really, you know, if ever faced with these kinds of challenges, we would be the men who would storm and sacrifice for these things. I got to tell you, I've looked at whether it's the Saving Private Ryan footage or it's reading these accounts, and I imagine myself as an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid facing something like that. And I got to tell you, I might be one of those that just froze. You just never know what you would do in that situation. I mean, the accounts of that day are really amazing to think that anybody made it through and that ultimately it was successful. A lot of people were sacrificed that day. And it may have had a good outcome, but I tell you, the horrors of war are really on display today. And I hope people will at least remember that. Remember the victories. Remember the sacrifice. Remember what the guys who stormed that beach were responsible for historically. But at the same time, just always, we need to remember is just the horrors of war. As I get to this microphone every day and try to stop the war hawks and the neocon warmongers, because it's not the romantic, patriotic thing that we see on television portrayed on endless drama series across the major news networks. War is ugly and horrific and steals a lot of very, very good men and women. I'm going to focus, though, today on something a little bit different than just that, as I'm prone to do. If there's one thing you can count on this show for, it's to take something that's kind of a mainstream narrative and give you a view of it from a different side, and I will not disappoint today with that, and it's going to get me into kind of my big story in just a second. What happened after World War II is what I want to focus on now, because it's going to lead me into this story that I found in this interview with a woman named Catherine Austin Fitz. She is, you can almost describe her as a bit of a whistleblower. She's a financial and accounting person. She served as the assistant secretary to HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development, in the H.W. Bush administration, and she's been speaking out probably from that time when she saw the mess and the corruption that goes on within our federal government on the accounting side. So we're going to talk about her. But what happened after World War II was that the armaments industry had just made a tremendous amount of money. World War I, World War II, and we emerged from that victorious in Europe and rebuilding Europe. But what happened was we suddenly saw the rise of this military-industrial complex, and this is what Eisenhower warned us about. Eisenhower came to be president basically on the heels of World War II and saw that what was happening was that the armaments manufacturers, not satisfied with simply providing the tools and the munitions and everything needed to fight back something like a World War II Hitler's Germany, but realizing that when that conflict was over, they essentially just had to sit down and not do a whole lot, right? And they're not content with that. And this industry bloomed in this country that we are still seeing the repercussions of now. Now, if the United States is under attack, it sure is nice to have defense contractors that give us the best, most lethal, most protective gear and technologies. The problem is the United States has not been under attack, and yet they continue to pump out these things. I saw something that, France is going through the same thing. I think France just had a big arms sales to the Saudis. This has become an industry that promotes war, and they do it for profit. I talk a lot on the show about the war profiteers, but what's interesting, and the story I'm about to get into that I'm telling you, I was surprised that this just kind of took place kind of in public. It just wasn't reported on. It shows you the power that this industry has and the misconception that you and I have of what our tax dollars go to, of how the government operates. And it is largely the corruption that's been borne out by this war machine that came out of World War I and World War II and established themselves as a driving force of U.S. policy. Just think about that. It's not about enemies, foreign enemies that are threatening the United States. It is about serving an industry that has become a part of our government that drives profits through endless conflict. And when we talk about the budgets that are given to the defense contractors, the military budgets that we have here, I think right now we're sitting at around $750 billion. Including Homeland Security and the three-letter agencies, we're at $1 trillion a year to our military-industrial complex here. $1 trillion a year. But that may not be everything. And on this show, I talked to a lot of people on the conservative side of things who have cheered for the endless military spending because we believe that militarism now is patriotism. It's not, and it's also not conservatism. But what I'm going to cover in just a second, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, the FASAB 56 ruling. I'm going to tell you when it got passed, which is very illustrative, too, of when this thing quietly made its way through Congress and what it means to us. And again, This was something that, because Catherine Austin Fitz said it, she's a very, very smart woman. I'm prone to believe her, but I just almost couldn't. I searched and searched to kind of verify what she was saying, and it took me a while to find anybody that backed up her account of this, but I finally did find it. And I believe that this is accurate stuff. FASAB 56. It's an accounting rule. And now, don't go to sleep yet. The information about this accounting rule should wake everybody up. I'll be right back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
So, in an alternate observance of D-Day, with all honor to the people that went through that, just an amazing sacrifice, amazing, horrible day, but a good day, I guess, for history, but for the men who ended up landing on the beaches. It's just, it's jaw-dropping to me to think what they went through. It really is amazing. You know, I've thought about Vietnam. Often, you know, movies bring that kind of stuff out. I have no military service, don't know anything about being there, but just the picture that's painted of it, I think Vietnam would just be, you know, absolutely terrifying, jungle warfare. But that day, that morning, 6:30 in the morning when they landed on the beaches of Normandy, that is just absolutely, it's hard for me to even understand what they went through. But after World War I and World War II, the armaments industry realized there's tremendous profit in these large wars, and they did not want to see an end to that. And it's kind of led to, well, not kind of, it has led to, as Eisenhower warned us, the rise of the military-industrial complex. Now, what's very interesting about that term is that Trump even used it a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember if I actually got to play the clip, but, you know, Trump said in this interview with Steve Hilton, he said, look, I did play it. I do remember now. He said, look, there's a military-industrial complex, and they want these wars. They want us involved everywhere. And it's one of the first times, maybe since Eisenhower or possibly JFK might have used that term too, that a president has come out and said, look, this group exists. Well, I ran into a story last night, an interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm going to tell you a little bit about who she is. You may or may not have ever heard of her. Got a Bachelor of Arts degree in history from University of Pennsylvania and a Master's of Business Administration degree in finance from the Wharton School. She's served as a managing director and member of the board of directors of Wall Street investment bank Dillon Reed & Company. That's one of these Tony investment banks, well-connected. And she was also, and this is kind of where she gets her ability to parse through the financial statements of our federal government. She was Assistant Secretary of Housing and the Federal Housing Commissioner at the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development in the administration of George H.W. Bush. Now, I've heard her talk many, many years. She is one of these people. There is a professor in Michigan, I want to say. I'm not exactly sure if that's correct, but it's a professor, I think his name is Mark Skidmore, who has gone through federal budget and federal accounting and auditing stuff, and realized that the federal government cannot account to, his number is $21 trillion in transactions. Now, this doesn't mean that this money was just flat out stolen, but what it means is we have a government that really has no idea where the money is going. And he's pointed this out. The military themselves have said, I can't remember if the number is 6.5 or 8.1, the the Pentagon has come out and said, the Department of Defense has come out and said, we can't account for, it's either $6.5 or $8.1 trillion in transactions. And they blame these things on accounting software, one system not talking to the other. But the bottom line is, for all of you out there who just cheer these endless military budgets, I tell you, number one, you understand it's not going to our troops, right? They get cost of living adjustments. That's what they get. They get cost of living adjustments as far as raises. Nobody's signing up to the military to get rich in a few years. So this money is going to defense contractors who want endless struggle and endless strife. They love selling their weapons to Saudi Arabia so they can brutalize the country of Yemen, the poorest country in the Middle East. For those of you who celebrate these huge, massive budgets to the military, because you've bought this line that we need to rebuild the military. Now, I'm not saying there probably weren't some problems, and I'm not saying maybe Barack Obama didn't make good decisions on where the money went, but he had $625, $650, $590, whatever it was, billion. The propaganda of sequester. Oh my gosh, Republicans come out and tell you that sequester decimated our military. Now, I remind you that Russia, during the sequester time, was spending about $50 billion on their, $50 billion on their military, and we're told there's some huge threat, that they've actually leapfrogged ahead of us sometimes. We were spending over 10 or 12 times what Russia was spending during the sequester. And the propaganda that comes out, because this military-industrial complex, the defense contractor, the lobbyist, the industry itself is so powerful, they came out and convinced people that any little cost reduction, any little bit of backpedaling on these massive military spending sprees was just an existential threat to the country. And particularly on the conservative side of things, you bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's an amazing thing to see. Now, this is not anti-American or anti-troop. We all support the troops. I support the troops so much that I demand on this air almost every day, certainly weekly, that our politicians not send them around the world into harm's way for nothing. That's my way of supporting the troops. Everybody else's way of just saying, oh, go ahead and bust the budget, spend as much as you want. But if the Pentagon cannot track somewhere between $6.5 and $8.1 trillion, should they be rewarded with more money? Well, as I got across the story with Catherine Austin Fitz, it turns out it's even worse than that. I'm going to start playing a couple of clips for him. I'll take a couple of segments to do this because this is pretty stunning stuff, and some of it I'll have to maybe kind of translate. She's very mathematical. She uses some terms that are not kind of in general language out here. But let's start hearing from her again. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. She was on the Greg Hunter USA Watchdog show, and she's talking about this ruling, FASAB 56. Now, I'm sure you've never heard of this, and you probably had no intention of listening to a radio show based on an accounting rule at the federal level, but trust me, it's interesting.
Doing the dance and the shuffle on their refusal to obey to the constitutional provisions on and the financial management laws about, for example, producing audited financial statements. So the question was, how do they deal with this once and for all? My guess is you probably saw some of the leadership at Treasury, whether it's Brady, Rubin, Summers, sit down. Wouldn't surprise if they pulled Volcker in as well and say, okay, how are we going to fix this once and for all? And the decision was to produce a statement from the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board, a private group of accounting experts who advise the government, to come up with a policy that authorizes the federal government, you know, in complete defiance of the Constitution, in complete defiance of the financial management laws, to basically move certain things behind secret books. So the federal government, including all the covered agencies and up to, I think it's 156 related agencies, are now permitted to keep secret books, and we're not allowed to know who makes those decisions, by what process they make it. All we know is they can have secret books, which means that the books we see are, frankly, totally meaningless.
And that's now, that's FASB 56. FASB 56 is that ruling, is that recommendation to the government.
Right,
FASB 56.
So let me suggest, because I think it's very important for investors to understand the real legal detail on this. I had one of the law firms who works for Solari Report write a full piece on FASB 56. And if you go to our website, you can link to constitution.solari.com, or you can go directly to constitution.solari.com. And there's a full briefing for any serious investor on what FASB 56 is. But also, we have several pieces on whether the Constitution, the financial management laws, or the black budget laws, all the different legal infrastructure and history of the law related to federal financial reporting and management of federal financial accounts. So it's all there. What I would say the message about FASB 56 is we have just used a obscure accounting policy to officially change the governance structure of the United States government to fascism. What this means, Greg, is that an investor of U.S. treasuries can buy a treasury. The money goes into a U.S. treasury. That money, by a secret process that will never be reported, can be moved out into a private bank or private company with no consideration or no payment. And those assets can be transferred out of the back door.
So let me tell you what that means. What she's saying, and I've got some other clips. I'm going to play some more, and then as I say, it took me a while to really even verify this. I don't doubt her. She knows what she's talking about. Here's what she's saying. They have instituted this rule, this FASB 56 rule, as an accounting standard for the federal government. And what that means is that they can just arbitrarily change where money goes. They keep two sets of books. So imagine they took in $1 billion and they want to give that to the CIA or to a private military contractor, some kind of a mercenary group. But they list it as going to HUD. They list that $1 billion as actually going to the Department of Education. But it is actually diverted to another area. Now, I'm going to get into the constitutionality of this because I found the clause in the Constitution that says exactly that the government owes us an accounting of where our money's going. What she is also saying there is essentially this. If you understand how the bond market works, how treasuries, how the government funds itself by borrowing money from us individuals, from pensions, from retirement plans, from foreign governments that buy bonds. So you take $1,000 and you go buy, let's just say, a U.S. Treasury. That money goes to the Treasury and they issue you the bond, which is essentially an IOU. It says, hey, you just gave us $1,000 in whatever the duration of the bond is. There are all kinds of different durations of these things. Let's just say a 10-year. They say, in 10 years, we're going to give you your $1,000 back. But in the meantime, we're going to pay you, you know, at this point, I don't know what it is, 2.34% or whatever. So they pay the interest to you during the 10 years, and then you get your money back at the end of the time. Now, the problem is what she's saying and what this rule apparently says is that $1,000 goes in. Here's what the average American thinks happens. The $1,000 goes into the bond. The government gives you the IOU. They take the $1,000. It goes into the Treasury. And the Treasury uses it for budgeted items just like anything. You know, they might use it for roads and bridges. They may send some of it to the military. They may do it for Social Security, whatever. The Treasury takes in their money and then it goes out. What this rule allows essentially is that $1,000 can come in and the Treasury can take it and then use it for whatever the hell they want to, including sending it out maybe to a bank, a favored bank, some other private investor for some use, or give it to them. Now, the sinister thing about that, not only is the fact that the taxpayer has no idea where this money is going, but you're on the hook for it. See, the taxpayer is the one that is taxed to pay for all of the interest on all these bonds that they sell. In the 10 years, in the case that I just gave you of the 10-year treasury that somebody purchases, in 10 years when that $1,000 comes back, the taxpayer's on the hook for that. So the $1,000 comes in to the federal government, goes to the Treasury, and then we have no idea where it goes. None. And we will never find this out. And I'm going to tell you, Congress passed this thing. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But the taxpayer is on the hook for paying that debt back on that bond. When it matures, the taxpayer will be asked to pay taxes to pay that back. I can almost hear myself not selling this enough. I'm going to let Catherine Austin Fitz. I've got some more clips from that and then some supporting documentation on it. And I'm going to show you how unconstitutional this is. What's amazing is I want you to know when this was passed. Now, I spent a lot of time on this show trying to break the conditioning of people to buy into this political theater that was constantly in front of us. Oh, are they going to impeach Donald Trump? Are they not going to impeach Donald Trump? Who said what? What did Mueller do today? Oh my gosh, I heard Mueller burp in the lunchroom today. I mean, with this political theater that is kind of always put in front of us, it's what's going on behind that's important. It's what I do with the show every day. Don't pay attention to the shiny stuff. We're like little kittens. They dangle something in front of us and we just go crazy for it and we don't pay attention to the stuff going on in the background. You'll be very interested to find out when this FASAB 56 ruling was approved by Congress.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show here, 103.9 WYAB. And what you're listening to is a very important story. You want to know how you can tell this is something that really matters and that it's extremely important? The way you can tell is that the media doesn't touch it. And Congress doesn't talk about it. Congress is complicit in this. I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes when this rule, this FASAB 56, this accounting rule, obscure little accounting rule, was approved by Congress. And it will just show you, it will illustrate the point that I'm constantly trying to make to my audience, which is you get wrapped up in this political theater. You get wrapped up in this idea that Barack Obama he ruined everything. Or if you're on the left, you think that George Bush was horrible and now Donald Trump is a Nazi. If you get wrapped up in that political theater, it's to keep your eyes off of things like this. This is an important story. We're talking about and listening to some clips from Catherine Austin Fitz, who's breaking this down. Now, this is a 44-minute interview. As your host, I do my homework, and I listen to the entire thing. And I tried to get some clips out that will kind of – it was actually very difficult because her points are so nuanced and detailed that it's kind of hard to get little sound bites without playing really long, very wordy clips. And I imagine people's eyes can glaze over. Just imagine – I mean, I see people right now. The guy's talking about accounting rule FASAB 56. What do I want to hear about that? Tell me about Mueller. Tell me about Nancy Pelosi wants Donald Trump in jail. Didn't you see that? That's where the news is. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's what they want you to focus on. Nancy Pelosi says she wants Trump in jail. That is fantastic for the two bases, right? Nancy Pelosi's fans, she'll get some cover for maybe she doesn't want to impeach, and she'll rally all of her base that hate Trump, and it'll get them all fired up. And then that riles up Trump's base. Hey, that Nancy Pelosi, that terrible Nancy Pelosi, she wants to put Trump in jail. So you can argue about that all day on Twitter and Facebook if you want to. I'm going to go back behind. I'm going to pull the curtain aside for a few minutes if you really want to see how things work. FASAB 56, this is an obscure accounting rule that Congress has approved, essentially means the federal government is keeping two sets of books. One that they show us, and then the real set of books. And it's been legitimized even by Congress. Again, I'll tell you when they approved this thing in just a second. and it will show my point about political theater. Here's Catherine Austin Fitz talking more about this money being used for purposes other than what it supposedly is designated for.
What is important to understand about what they did is this is a Main Street versus Wall Street situation. You have all of Washington and Wall Street very dependent on the subsidy that rolls out from all these financial shenanigans. And as I said, I think they're authorizing private armies with secret money. So now you have, in addition to Washington and Wall Street, a growing amount of private mercenary firms, which is scary. And the reality is they're making a lot of money, Greg. As I said, it's what's driving global inequality. And everyone is dependent on this money to keep the game going, whether it's CNN, whether it's the big defense contractors, whether it's the big telecoms. All these guys are addicted to dirty money. This is dirty money, and they're addicted to it. They're trying to legalize it, but they're addicted. And so they're going to do any – it's like an addict who's got to get his fix. They're all on board to get that fix.
And that's what the $21 trillion is. The $21 trillion is the heroin. The dirty money is the addiction.
Right. But putting – let's go back to what FASB 56 is. What they did was, instead of creating a bailout, they created a structure where you can do a bailout every day 24/7.
Wow.
They created an open pipeline backdoor to the Treasury. One of the things they're going to say is, oh, no, it's subject to aggregate totals. No, it's not. First of all, if you wanted to do secret things, the black budget laws, as I describe in the black budget, or we describe in the black budget article at constitution.slayer.com, you already have that in place. Okay, so you don't need this. If you look at how they're using the federal government, there's lots of indication that I would argue says that they're laundering money in and then spending it out. So let's say you land in the Middle East and you start selling oil through the back door, you're laundering those revenues through DOD or other government agencies. It's a pattern that I saw. I can only explain what I saw at HUD by assuming I think they were laundering some of the drug profits through the HUD as a government agency. So
now these are... You know, these are big claims, but she backs them up a lot. Again, this is a long interview. But again, if you're just joining me, we're talking about FASAB 56. This is a ruling that was approved by Congress. When I come back from this next break, I'm going to tell you when they approved this thing. This is an accounting rule that essentially says when money comes in through this a bond or just basically through any government revenue source, that they can say... They take in $1 billion in tax revenue or whatever, however they acquire $1 billion at the federal level, they can bring it in and they can say, well, we're going to take that and we're going to spend that on, let's say, the bright new shiny $2 trillion infrastructure budget. They can say that. But then there's another set of books where they actually show where the $1 billion went that you and I will never see, will never be audited, nothing. Maybe it goes to pay Blackwater to go into Pakistan. Maybe it pays Goldman Sachs to somehow prop up the dollar or do, you know, whatever else. I mean, use your imagination. This is the looting. And the problem with this is not only how disgusting this is, and I'll give you the Constitution line on how finances are supposed to be handled, but the disgusting part of this is that every one of these debts that when they let, you know, these billions of dollars just flow out secretly, they're putting your children and your grandchildren's name on the debt for it. Your children and grandchildren are going to be paying this back, and you don't even know where the money went. Now, if it was going to the government functions, they say, oh, we're sending it to the TSA to keep the flying public safe. You know, maybe you can at least wrap your mind, well, we got some services for it. I mean, it's inconvenient that our children and our grandchildren are on the hook for trillions of dollars of debt that our generation ran up, supposedly. But you don't even know what you're getting for this money. In a $4 trillion budget, which is what we've seen out of this last Congress, Republican Congress, I may add, $4 trillion. Does anybody have any faith that there's any transparency as to where this money is going? And what she said earlier in there, and I should stop these clips and translate a little bit. But what she said in that thing earlier was that, you know, this is just, it's just pure fraud. And there are already things called the black budget. We've all heard these things. Secret military programs that are, that they siphon money off to do these things. That rule has already been in place. Apparently, that wasn't enough for them. What happened was they've been doing this for a while. They've been taking money into the federal government and then using it for purposes other than what they tell the public that they're using it for. And now they've just tried to legitimize it. They've tried to make it legal. And nobody noticed. And when I come back, I'll tell you why nobody noticed. You're going to find out when they, when Congress approved this thing. And it is one of these big, bright highlighter marks for the Mike Madison Show that says, while you're distracted by this ridiculous public theater, this political theater of Mueller and Pelosi and Maxine Waters and AOC and Donald Trump and all of the rest of this stuff, this is the stuff that's going on behind the scenes that will destroy this country. It's already well on its way. So again, it's time to wake up to this kind of stuff, to stop looking at every shiny object that the media and the politicians drag in front of your face and start learning the truth about the way things work. The sooner we know that, maybe the sooner we demand some level of change, the sooner we wake up, the sooner we drop our support for this two-party system that is screwing us bipartisanly. And I'll show you that too when I come back. Stay with me.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
Our federal government is officially carrying two sets of books. One that they give to us sheeple out here to tell us that they're just taking in tax dollars and they need to pick your pockets for what? 10%, 20%, 30% of your income because they've got so many good deeds they want to do. And they roll out these budgets and show you where they're going. When they do get around to making a budget, as someone called in the other day and said, these continuing resolutions are really the way they run the government now. But they're keeping two sets of books, and that's why we're doing this story about FASAB 56, an accounting mechanism that they have installed at the federal level. And I'll tell you, this is... This is what's amazing about it. I can't talk enough about how much we're deceived by this political theater. These two parties that, you know, there's some differences, mostly in rhetoric. The results are pretty much the same. Nobody's closed the border, have they? Republican-led, Democrat-led, it doesn't matter. They don't change the border. We're still going insolvent. Debts are higher under Republicans than they are during Democrats sometimes, but the Republicans give a lot of lip service to fiscal responsibility and cutting the size of government. Now, when did this FASAB, this admission, this rule go into place that allows the federal government to keep two sets of books? Because I'm sure you didn't hear about it. I mean, I'm a political junkie. I didn't hear about it. I wonder how this could have just skated under the surface.
Congress holds the power of the purse. Now, if you look at FASB 56, it was approved by both the administration and Congress, bipartisan, on the same week that everybody was screaming about Kavanaugh. Past the week that Kavanaugh, we had all the hearings on Mr. Kavanaugh's teenage sex life. So at the same time, everybody supposedly looks like they're fighting. We had a bipartisan Congress and administration pass this very quietly underneath the attention given to the Kavanaugh hearings.
And that's the game. They keep us distracted with all this fighting. They keep us mad at each other. You love to go to Twitter and call somebody a libtard. You love to go to Twitter and call some Trump supporter a Nazi. That's really going to change things. Meanwhile, behind the curtain, under the surface, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. Our government is just corrupt. And it's hollowing out the entire economic system of the United States. We will see the response to that. Now, I had a real difficult time trying to verify anything she said because it was, I was looking for somebody else to report on this. And when I did internet searches, I couldn't find anything for the longest time. It took me quite a while. And that's because no media covered it. Oh, they covered the Kavanaugh Theater brilliantly. Christine Ford Blasey, whatever her name was. Oh, and Kavanaugh, did this matter? And did he feel up a girl? Did he have some awkward encounter? No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Meanwhile, the federal government is putting in a rule, an accounting rule that says when we take money in, we can tell the American people it's going one place and we can keep a secret second set of books that has it going somewhere else. But I found one person who actually did some reporting on it. Where was it? Rolling Stone magazine. October 4th, 2018 was a busy news day. The fight over Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination dominated the cycle. The Trump White House received a supplemental FBI report. It said cleared its would-be nominee of wrongdoing. Retired Justice John Paul Stevens, meanwhile, said Kavanaugh was compromised enough that he was unable to sit as a judge. Hashtag National Taco Day trended on Twitter. Chris Evans told the world production wrapped on Avengers 4. The only thing that did not make, this is from the Rolling Stone article, the only thing that did not make the news was an announcement by a little-known government body called the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board, FASAB, that essentially legalized secret national security spending. The new guidance, SFFAS56 Classified Activities, permits government agencies to, quote, modify, unquote, public financial statements and to move expenditures from one line to another. It also expressly allows federal agencies to refrain from telling taxpayers if and when public financial statements have been altered. To Michigan State Professor Mark Skidmore, this is the guy that I was talking about earlier, who's been studying discrepancies in defense expenditures for years, the new ruling and the lack of public response to it was a shock. From this point forward, he says, the federal government will keep two sets of books, one modified book for the public, and one true book that is hidden. Now, when I get down to the, real quickly, as I wrap this hour up, find this constitutional. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to keep that on the other side because I'm going to tell you where this started. Because I started this hour by explaining to you, as we observe D-Day and give all honor that's due to the people that were involved in that amazing and horrific day, The problem that we don't see is what grew up from this time. And that problem is this rise of what even Donald Trump called 2 weeks ago the military-industrial complex. And they are being fed in the shadows endless streams of taxpayer money and probably some of the big banks too. It's not constitutional and it's wrong.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. And I am showing you today, I'm proving to you, listeners to this show, are more educated about real-world stuff, the way the world really works, than listeners to any other show. Because we cover these things that are not covered anywhere else. If you're listening to the podcast, and if you're just joining the show, we're talking about something. And don't fall asleep when I say this, because I'm telling you, it's fascinating and aggravating and maddening all at the same time. I'm talking about an accounting rule that was quietly slipped into accounting standards for our federal government called FASAB 56, which essentially allows our federal government to keep two sets of books. One's for us everyday Americans, you know, the ones who don't really need to know where all the money's going. They can pick your pockets for a third of your income each year, but you have no business knowing because our overlords know better than us where that money should go. Now, what's interesting, if you're listening to the podcast, you can get the podcast. You can go to WYAB.com, scroll down to my radio show page, and it'll link to all of my shows, and you can subscribe to it there. That's on Podbean, themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, too, and get this show every day. So you can go back and listen to the first hour and hear how egregious this is and the fact that nobody else is talking about it, and I mean literally just about nobody. But I found this Rolling Stone article. Rolling Stone covered it. Catherine Austin Fitz, former assistant secretary at Housing and Urban Development under the H.W. Bush administration, she's covering it. Greg Hunter had her on his show, so he's covering it. And then there's me. I think that's about four people nationally that are even talking about this. But what's interesting is if you're listening to the podcast, you won't have heard the last news break. But right before I came on the air, the illustrious Jim Thorne was giving us a rundown of state news, and they talked about a Gulf Coast comptroller has been sent a demand letter. Apparently, the feds or the state agencies or whatever have discovered that they may have misappropriated $54,000 in bond money that came into the coast. Now, I don't think they said that they were arrested or anything, but obviously $54,000 down on the coast from a bond issue went missing, and that gets covered in the news. I'm sure it's in the papers. I'm sure it's not. These guys are being called out on the coast. I don't know the details of it. I don't know if they're guilty. I don't know if it's innocent. I don't know if it's bookkeeping. I don't know. But that makes the news. But the fact that our federal government that controls a $4 trillion budget that we know of keeps two sets of books, and there's not a peep about it anywhere. I'm going to go through some more of this story. Let me see if I can find what the Constitution says about all of this, and then I'm going to tell you what started this whole mess in the first place of, you know, unaccountable spending. And I'll get to it in just a second on the constitutional side. I'm sorry I've lost that particular clip. But here's what the people who are actually paying attention to this stuff have said. I talked about this Michigan State professor, Mark Skidmore, has been studying discrepancies in defense expenditures for years, and defense is one of the linchpins to this thing. That's what you have to understand. I mean, think about this for just a second. Particularly those of you who have been conditioned to cheer for endless military spending because you somehow think that's supporting the troops. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of our troops have got kids. A lot of our veterans have got grandkids. You're screwing their kids and their grandkids with all of this debt and endless military spending. And if you think anything that the $7 trillion we've spent in the Middle East has done to keep us safer, you're going to have to point it out to me, because there's not very many people with any credibility out there outside of defense industry lobbyists that take to Fox News that will point to anything positive out of these endless Middle Eastern wars. And we seem to be catching on to that in 2016 when we elected Donald Trump and he campaigned on getting us out of there. But now we've decided, oh, no, we need to spend more on the military. And we're up at about $750 billion, plus another $250 billion for Homeland Security, for CIA, military intelligence, all these other things. $1 trillion a year is what we're spending. And think about this for a second, because according to this, the story I'm doing right now on this accounting trick, this accounting deception our federal government's involved in, that $1 trillion a year, it's not enough for them. So these headline numbers of taking our military spending and rebuilding the military, taking our budget from $710 billion to $750 billion, understand, it's still not enough for them. You are being played. Eisenhower told you 60 years ago we ignored him. I'm telling you again right now, Michigan State Professor Mark Skidmore, been studying discrepancy in defense expenditures for years. The new ruling, that's this thing we're talking about, FASAB 56, and the lack of public response to it was a shock. Quote, from this point forward, he says, the federal government will keep two sets of books, one modified book for the public and one true book that is hidden. Stephen Aftergood of the Federation of American Scientists Project on Government Secrecy was one of the few people across the country to pay attention to the FASAB news release. He was alarmed. He says, it diminishes the credibility of all public documents. Now, this writer, this was interesting, too, because he had the same reaction to this ruling that I did. When I heard Catherine Austin Fitz talk about the fact that the government, hidden in plain sight right in front of us, says, we will take money into the federal government, we will tell the American people we're spending it on one thing, and we'll actually hide what we're really spending it on. And when I heard her say that, I said, maybe she's exaggerating. That's a interesting thing, and I don't ever doubt the amazing amount of corruption within a federal government that spends $4 trillion a year. Do any of us doubt the corruption that's there? The waste, fraud, and abuse is just, it's just corruption. But I thought maybe she's exaggerating it. So I said, I got to look this up. I don't want to get caught doing a story about this and then find out that it wasn't exactly what she said. Here's what the Rolling Stone reporter said. He obviously had the same reaction I did. He said, I spent weeks trying to find a more harmless explanation for SFFAS56, or at least one that did not amount to a rule that allows federal officials to fake public financial reports. I couldn't find one. This new accounting guideline really does mean what it appears to mean, and the details are more bizarre than the broad strokes. The FASAB ruling adds a new and confusing wrinkle to what little we know about levels of spending in the intelligence community. Officially, the fiscal year 2019 appropriation is $81.1 billion, which breaks down to $59 billion for national intelligence, along with $21 billion for military intelligence program. This made a few headlines as Trump's black budget. Okay, we know that most of us know that there's this black budget, secret projects, and they actually get an appropriation for that. But apparently, according to this and this new accounting rule, that's not enough either. So we've got this black budget thing. As the Rolling Stone story goes on, he says, as Trump's black budget request was described as the largest in history. That's secret money. Secret money picked out of the pockets of you and me. Of the American citizen, told that we're getting all these government services for it. The government needs this money, Mike. We got to keep the IRS there. How would the government function? Again, for those of you financially illiterate, as far as federal budget process goes, the federal government takes in about $2 trillion in corporate taxes and fees and tariffs and all kinds of different stuff. They don't need your money, but they'll take it because you'll let them. However, as Aftergood notes, even the high fiscal year 19 numbers, that's for this black budget, do not include spending for, quote, classified DOD operations and procurement. And now the possibility of future modifications and the real answer for how big a share of the national security, national spending belongs to the intelligence community is probably, and this is a quote from this guy who studies this stuff, God only knows. Given that the intelligence budget number the government admits to, this is what goes to CIA and military intelligence, given that the intelligence budget number the government admits to is already larger than the annual defense budgets of all but two countries on Earth, and that's us and China, it seems natural to ask, what are we getting ourselves into? You understand that the CIA's budget is larger than the defense budgets of most countries. You still want to go listen to Buck Sexton, the former CIA guy on Fox News, as he tells you we need to fight some more wars? I think he does a radio show, too. Buck Sexton. What a great name. Wish I had a name like Buck Sexton. Buck Sexton, ex-CIA. Boy, that really pumps up the American patriot. You know that Buck Sexton served our country with the CIA. He knows the score. Yeah, he does. He sure does. Because they are gaming. They are gaming. This whole defense industry is gaming us. And now they've come out and shown us. They're keeping two sets of books. We don't even know. I feel a little silly. I have been on the air here for 2 years trying to convince you that this endless military spending is not in your best interest. It is bankrupting future generations. It will destroy our country. We are running an empire that we cannot afford. And I didn't even know the half of it. I've been pointing at this budget figure, this $690, and then the next year it's $710 billion, and then now it's $750 billion, and I've been calling that out. I had no idea that it was actually endless. It's actually endless. We don't even know how much they're spending on this stuff, because $750 billion in defense appropriations apparently is not enough for them. They need more. Now, where did this all start? I'll do that when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Continuing on this track, boy, this is an important story for people to understand. I don't know how many people can or will, because we have this, you know, I did this show yesterday on the helplessness, the pathetic weakness of the left in this country, who has been convinced somehow over the decades, seemingly capable people who somehow stumble into owning a cell phone and buying their own car and feeding themselves to a large degree, those that aren't just completely on social welfare. But, you know, a lot of Democrats aren't on welfare. They somehow are able to get a kid to school every day and do the normal functions of life. But when it comes to the big things, they think they need the Democratic Party to go out there and do it for them. And I talk about the incredible weakness of the left. But I got to tell you, it's on the right, too. It's we just ignore the big stories. We ignore the real problems in favor of, did you see Nancy Pelosi wants to put Trump in jail? We love our political theater. It's easy. It's simple. It's simple, Mike. Mueller bad, Trump good. Mueller's always been bad. He was bad during the George Bush administration, but Republicans and Sean Hannity tried to convince you that he was some kind of a national treasure. While libertarians were out there screaming, this guy's no good. This whole deep state's no good. Nobody listened to us. Nobody listened to us. Don't pass the Patriot Act. They'll start spying on the American people. It's going to turn around and bite us. Nobody listened to us. Nobody listened to us. And then suddenly what happens? Oh, turns out the deep state does spy on American citizens, including a candidate for president. And now everybody's shocked and outraged. It's funny, we don't listen to the people who warn us of things. We wait until it all happens, and the political parties co-opt the issue and tell you they got the solution. And the people who've been telling you what's going to happen all along are just marginalized. Well, I'm telling you about something that's going on right now that should just enrage the American citizen. The ones whose pockets are being picked every Friday on the 1st and the 15th of every month, every April 15th, as they suck in vast amounts of wealth that Americans could put into productive uses, building businesses, sending their kids to college debt-free, hell, having a vacation, maybe allowing a wife to stay home with the kids instead of work, or a husband. I don't want to be sexist. Maybe the husband could stay home if the wife didn't have to pay taxes. So they pick our pockets for this, what, 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% of your income. And what I'm talking about today is this little obscure accounting rule that was passed during the Kavanaugh uproar. Isn't that strange? Isn't that convenient? That this thing went through with nary a whisper on the mainstream news that says, this accounting ruling says, our federal government can keep two sets of books. When money comes in, they can tell the American people it's being spent one place, but they can actually send it to a different place. And it will never be audited, it will never be challenged, it will never be discovered. It just happens. And we're going to pay attention to what Pelosi said yesterday. We're going to pay attention to what Maxine Waters says tomorrow. We're going to pay attention to all the shiny little things drug in front of our face like we're kittens, and we're not going to pay any attention to this. Now, I'm going to tell you how this all got started, because the way I started the show was in observance of D-Day. After World War II is what we're focusing on today. This is when this military armaments industry blossomed, bloomed, became just the overriding force in American politics and policy. And we're talking about the fact that now that they have this ruling, this obscure accounting ruling, FFSA something 56, that They can take money in and then put it wherever they want to. I mean, I can imagine Juan Guaido down in Venezuela. He probably got on some of this money. They probably took some money into the federal government. On a light item, they said, we put this towards the homeless. Let's say we use this for the homeless. That'll look good on paper. The people will think we're trying to help people. And what they actually did was they just funneled it down to Venezuela to try to bribe a bunch of military officials to overthrow the Venezuelan government. And your tax dollars paid for that. And it was a big failure, by the way, because John Bolton had his fingerprints all over it, and John Bolton fails at everything he does. He's failed forward because he's an international security advisor, but he fails. Unless you consider Iraq a tremendous success. So where did this all start? When did we start really getting hoodwinked? This is, again, from this Rolling Stone article, one of the only ones I could find reporting on this new obscure accounting rule that allows the federal government to keep two sets of books, one for us idiots, and then the real one. Ooh, I'd love to see that. See what Goldman Sachs gets. See what Blackwater gets. Now, some of it may just go to private citizens. I mean, Sheldon Adelson put in $100 million into the 2018 midterms. He didn't do that for no reason. He's getting his money's worth somewhere. The story of openly secret budgets really began in 1949 with the passage of anyone? The Central Intelligence Agency Act. The law exempted the newly christened spy agency from public financial disclosure. The CIA Act was a radical departure from the Constitution. Anyone remember the Constitution? I mean, we've seen pictures of it. I think there's a couple of little places. What, the Smithsonian maybe has a copy of it or something like that. Well, we're going to swing by and take a look at it. We don't really observe it anymore. Of course, on the conservative side of things, we love to talk about how we love the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, but we ignore the Constitution and we ignore the Founding Fathers for some reason. It's kind of strange to me, but the CIA Act was a radical departure from the Constitution, which is clear about public accounting. Here is from the Constitution, quote, "No money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time." The CIA Act was a constitutional carve-out just for them, right? Well, Mike, you don't understand. The Cold War was raging. We couldn't let them know how much money we were giving them. They need to operate in the shadows. Dick Cheney told us, sometimes you got to operate in the shadows. The sums made available to the agency may be expended without regard to the provisions of law and regulations relating to the expenditure of government funds, the law read. This is the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency Act. For objects of a confidential, extraordinary, or emergency nature, such as expenditures to be accounted for solely on the certificate of the director. In other words, while government agencies had to account for their expenses, the word of the CIA director was good enough when it came to what they'd spent and why. And this started us down this path. Now, it's not just the CIA director. Now our federal government, by their own accounting rule that was adopted, if you're just joining me again, very quietly, while the Kavanaugh hearings were going on. Isn't that convenient? While everybody was distracted by the shiny and taking to Twitter and to Facebook to call Christina Blasey Ford, was that her name? I can barely remember it. You know why I can barely remember it? Because it didn't matter. None of it mattered. It was political theater for everybody. It rallied the Trump base behind Kavanaugh. How dare they attack him? Christy Ford Blasey is a liar. And the left said, Kavanaugh's a rapist. Oh my God, we have a sexual predator on the Supreme Court. Do you remember the contention around that? Do you remember how excited everybody was? How the bases rallied? How the political puppeteers up in Washington, D.C. would just dangle the little strings and make you dance? Take to Facebook, man. Call that guy a libtard. And the Democrats would say, get to Twitter. Call Kavanaugh. Hashtag Kavanaugh's a rapist. Well, they play you. They play you like master puppeteers. While quietly they say, hey, we don't have to tell you where we're spending the money. And again, for anyone just joining me, as I explain this to you, the way that the money goes is just imagine you've put $1,000 into the federal government through taxation, or somebody buys a bond, loans the government. It goes to the Treasury, right? Your tax dollars go to the Treasury. You buy bonds, they go to the Treasury. And they take that $1,000 and they pretend that it's going to budgeted items, the public things. You know, you can go right now and look online. This is the real magic of this. You can go online right now and pull up FY19 U.S. federal budget. And it's going to have all these. I mean, you can get real in depth. These budgets are long. I mean, to spend $4 trillion takes a little bit of work. I'm sure the paperwork, just the outline of how they spend federal dollars, has got to be just hundreds and hundreds of pages long. You can look at every agency and what they're spending money on. Or you can just get the basic pie chart. That's probably what you'll pull up. You know, defense spending is this much. Social Security is this much. Medicare, Medicaid is this much. Other entitlements is this much. You know, interest on the debt is this much. That part of this pie is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And we don't care. But you can go look at that. And now you know from this show that it could all be wrong. It could all just be smoke and mirrors. You don't know where any of this money's going. Now, there's nobody who knows where $4 trillion is going. Nobody. There's no way to account for it. The Pentagon itself has said it's lost somewhere between $6.5 and $8 trillion. What was our response to that? Well, golly gee willikers, we need to give you more. We need to give you more because the military news analyst on Fox News told me the sequester just about destroyed our military. We're all going to die. We give them more. Now, I think when I come back, I'm going to play the... Did you ever hear the Donald Rumsfeld quote on the money that the Pentagon had lost? Do you know what the timing of that quote was? Because it's equally interesting, and it really further just highlights this point I'm making with all the political theater, with the big news as we're dragged from story to story. It's kind of like they get off on telling us right to our face what they're doing, because they know we'll be so distracted in the next couple of days, in the next few hours, that we'll never actually get outraged enough to make a change. Yeah, Donald Rumsfeld came out and said something in 2000. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Am I beating a dead horse here? Talking about probably one of the most important stories that anybody's going to hear this month, this year. The fact that the government put in accounting rules that allows them to keep a secret set of books and spend money wherever they want. And I'm wrestling with it because it's such an important story, but I know people want to talk about the political theater of the day. That's really what they want to do, so they may tune out. But let me put it this way. All that money you want for your wall... Oh, it's just being diverted God knows where. Even if they budgeted money for the wall, it doesn't mean they're actually going to spend it there. Do you understand? There's no responsibility in Washington, D.C. And we're not even talking about the corrupt Congress critters and their corruption. We're talking about flat-out financial fraud on the American people by the Department of Treasury. And this was, again, this was approved and set into motion during the Kavanaugh hearings while everyone was distracted. And this happened under the Trump administration. This was during a Republican Congress and the Trump administration. Now, this is not exclusively Republican. I'm not even laying this at the feet of Donald Trump or at the Republican Party. It could have just as easily happened under... See, they've been doing this for a long time, and that's why I'm going to play this next clip. Donald Rumsfeld, hero of the militarist patriot out there. You remember how tough he was? See, when Donald Rumsfeld was around leading up to the Iraq War, I was this chicken hawk, neocon, warmongering, little Kool-Aid drinking Republican, and I thought Donald Rumsfeld was so tough. He didn't take any crap off those reporters. I used to love it. So I kind of get this whole idea of kind of worshiping Donald Trump because he doesn't take crap from people. I was there, too. Of course, I was like 26. I've grown out of that because now I realize what a disastrous defense secretary Donald Rumsfeld was. Many of you may not be there yet. But if you look at the results of Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney foreign policy, I don't really know what you're clinging to if you want to consider him a fine American. How many young soldiers died or were catastrophically injured based on what Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney did. Anyway, Rumsfeld just had an interesting quote, and I talk about it. It's kind of like they love to put this stuff out there. I think that the elites kind of like to just come out and tell us. You know, you remember when Jonathan Gruber, the guy who worked on Obamacare, came out and he said in public, he goes, look, we're getting Obamacare done because we're just strictly based on the ignorance of the American people, and particularly to all you leftists out there. He was just mocking you. You Obama supporters who supported Obamacare, he was basically saying, look, the public's stupid. They don't know what we're doing. Now, I've told you what they were doing. They were giving away huge amounts of profits to the health insurance industry. Their profits doubled within 3 years of Obamacare going into effect. That's what it was all about. But leftists still cling to the idea that Barack Obama was just a man of the people trying to help those poor uninsured. And Jonathan Gruber came out and said, well, yeah, we can get away with this because people are idiots. I got to tell you, I mean, it's bold of him to say it in public. He took a little heat. He had to backtrack it a little bit, but he said it because he meant it. You know, a backtrack doesn't mean anything. It's not like he made some Freudian slip or some gaffe in language. He just came out and said, well, we just were able to do this, you know, lack of transparency and basically the ignorance of the American voter. It wasn't a like one word misspoken or used in the wrong context or anything. He just flat out said, well, they're a bunch of idiots. We can do whatever we want to up here. And I think that's what part of it is that they reach this level and they just laugh at all of us. They just say, man, these people will put up with anything. We're just going to tell them what we're doing. This was Donald Rumsfeld. And the date of this was very interesting. Listen to the story about Donald Rumsfeld's pronouncement.
Pentagon, the day before 9-1-1, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld declared war, not on foreign terrorists.
The adversary is closer to home. It's the Pentagon bureaucracy.
He said money wasted by the military poses a serious threat.
In fact, it could be said that it's a matter of life and death.
Rumsfeld promised change, but the next day, the world changed. And
isn't
in the rush
that
to
convenient.
Fund the war on terrorism, the war on waste seems to have been forgotten.
My 03 budget calls for more than $48 billion in new defense spending.
More money for the Pentagon when its own auditors admit the military cannot account for 25% of what it already spends.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And that number has simply grown. It was 2.3 back there when Rumsfeld said that in 2001. The latest figures are, and I'm sorry, I should look it up. I want to be factual on here. I want to be accurate. It's either like $6.5 or $8.1 trillion the Pentagon cannot account for because of the way they do their transactions. And what they tell you is, well, we've got these accounting systems. They don't talk to each other. It's really they've had people who've worked at the Pentagon accounting who have just come out and said, I mean, basically kind of whistleblowers, but they just kind of said it matter of fact. They just said, well, here's what we do is that we're given a figure on our budget here, and we just start, I think they called them plugs. We just make up where the money goes. We just make it up. This went to toilet paper in Afghanistan. All right. Hey Fred, I got $164 million here. Can you think of any? I'm running out of ideas. MREs. Yeah. Okay. MREs. I'll put it down to MREs. That's how they do Pentagon budgeting. And what do the American people do to respond to that? More money. They need more money, Mike. Because Obama almost destroyed our military. I mean, and now the Pentagon problems are really pale in comparison to anything else, because now what I'm talking about today, this new accounting ruling that slipped in during the Kavanaugh. See, Donald Rumsfeld goes out and tells you the Pentagon can't account for $2.3 trillion. Next day, September 11th. So, crickets. We don't hear anything else about that. Headline comes back out again. The Pentagon can't account for $6.5 or $8.1 trillion, whatever it ends up being. But we're on to the 2016 election by the time that number comes out. We can't afford to pay attention to that. Did you hear what John Kerry said? Did you hear what Donald Trump said? So we don't pay attention to that. And now this ruling that allows the federal government to keep two sets of books, one for us idiots out here that they just use to trick us with, and then the real books where they just funnel money wherever the hell they want to after they take it from you. I keep going back to that point because I don't want it to be lost on you. Is it a burden for you to pay taxes, or do you enjoy it? Are you one of these people who believes that taxation is patriotism? You got to, it's the, like the inscribed on the side of the Internal Revenue building in Washington, D.C., it says, taxes are what we pay for a civilized society. If you buy into that, then I probably can't reach you anyway. But I got to tell you, probably not a lot of people who think that are listening to the show, because either they can't figure out how to turn on a radio or get it to WYAB, or they just really wouldn't be interested in the complexity or the facts in this show. For most people, taxes are a bit of a burden. You'd probably not rather not pay them. And now this ruling, what I'm talking about, this whole show has ended up being about this today. This ruling says that they take that money from you and you have no idea where it goes. This budget stuff they put out is ridiculous. It doesn't matter. They have the ability to go in and say they're spending it on one thing, but spend it on something completely different. And to think that within a $4 trillion budget, none of this is actually landing in private people's pockets. But I know what everybody's concerned with. Mike, what about that $1.6 billion we gave to Iran? Number one, we didn't give it to them. That was actually Iranian money. We did give it to them in cash, and I guarantee you, I wouldn't be surprised at all if every nickel of that was swallowed up by greedy mullahs or administration people in Iran or paid off to people in bribes. You're not getting any argument with me that money that went back to Iran might have been used for some corrupt purposes. They're a government. All governments are corrupt. But we didn't give that money to them. But while you sit there and play that game of listening to the talking heads come out and tell you, yeah, we gave Iran $1.6 billion, which is just patently, it's just a lie, it's just propaganda. While you focus on that $1.6 billion, our federal government is keeping two sets of books. $1.6 billion, I would imagine that since I started this radio show today, they have spent $1.6 billion in some way the American people will never know about. Just during this show. You keep focusing on this thing back in 2015 that the Iranians were given this pallet full of cash. And that's your biggest concern. That tells you we need to go to war with Iran. That tells you that Barack Obama is the problem with this country. So if that makes you feel good and bolsters up all the ideas you already have, that's fine. But during the course of this show, 1 hour and 48 minutes, they've probably taken $1.6 billion and shipped it somewhere you don't even know about. And they will do it during Doc Livingston's show. And then they'll do more of that during the Clark Howard show. And they'll be doing it during the Michael Savage show, the Kim Wade show, and the James Tulp show, the Dana Lash show. You understand what I'm saying? Am I making a point here? You can keep focusing on that $1.6 billion to Iran. I'm sure there were corrupt, you know, uses of that money when it got over there, but we didn't give it to them. It was their money in the first place, so quit at least buying that propaganda. But you can keep focusing on that as long as you want to. You can focus on the welfare queen if you want to, because believe you, I'm a libertarian. The welfare queens bug me too. I can't stand it. The idea that our federal government has grown to this level where we just hand out money to people to not work. And actually, the welfare system is so bad that it actually discourages work. It's not even about just handing the money. It's about trapping people in dependency for, you know, political purposes. No Democrat gives a crap if they're helping anybody. What they want to do is trap them as a voter. Dangle that money. Hey, we're the only ones that can give you money. You don't vote for us, that you might have to go out and get a job. You're not going to get that money. The welfare queen idea drives me insane, too. But see, I can be outraged about both things. I don't just have to be outraged about things that Republicans are outraged about. And this is a bipartisan one. This accounting trick that allows, this accounting rule, I don't want to say trick, because trick says that they're doing something they shouldn't do. No, they've come right out to the American people and said, look, we're going to institute this rule where we can spend money and tell you it's for one thing when it's actually for another one you'll never know. See, that was a bipartisan thing. Both Republicans and Democrats, Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton. I mean, the whole cabal. This is the administrative state that just soldiers on. While we focus on the faces and all the controversy that goes in front of us, Trump versus Pelosi and Barack Obama versus Paul Ryan or whatever we're focusing on. This is the thing that marches on, and it's the thing that will end up destroying our country. The $1.6 billion to Iran out of a $4 trillion budget, even if it was something nefarious, it's a rounding error. They could find $1.6 billion in the couch cushions at the Pentagon. But keep, by all means, keep focusing on that.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Started out this show, as we should, honoring those who fought and died on D-Day today, the 75th anniversary of that. Found out today, or just recently, that a complete flag source there in Jackson, long-standing, locally owned business. Man, we got to get out and support these people if you need a flag. But they've got several D-Day flags, which I want to check out. That's actually very interesting to me. I didn't really thought about that, but they've got a stock of D-Day flags left over. So you give them a call. You can reach them 877-905-3524, but visit them at CompleteFlags.com, CompleteFlags.com. They're over at 5295 I-55 North Frontage Road there in Jackson, and they've got flags for everything. I mean, you want little decorative flags. You want your college flags heading into football season or for baseball season now. And they've also got state flags and I mean, they've just got flags. They've got everything you could possibly want, and I just love the owners there. Tremendous, tremendous people with a long-standing local business that deserves our support. So, again, that's the Complete Flag Source. Check them out at CompleteFlags.com. And if you're interested in getting a D-Day flag, you want to talk about one day to really honor some of these people. I know we've got Memorial Day and these others where you should have your American flag out there, but something specific to this day. 75 years ago, one of the most tide-turning, historic yet horrific days. A lot of people sacrificed on that day. A D-Day flag would be a nice way to honor them every single year, so check them out. I'm about done. I'm about out of time. I spent 2 hours on this. I had a lot of other things to cover, but I am floored. I am just floored by the brazen nature with which our government shows us their corruption. I am equally amazed by the lack of interest of the American people. And I watch on social media and listen to people on talk radio or on the talking head shows on cable news. I watch them parse apart the minutiae of the day. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Mueller said something. Trump said something. Trump tweeted something. The mayor of London said something back. I mean, I listen to us parse that stuff out while these huge, monstrous stories are right there for us to see, and nobody wants to look at it. It's almost like there's some kind of a camouflage. It's like they put this stuff under political camouflage. They keep us distracted. Squirrel! So easily. So incredibly easily. I mean, just think about it in the context. And I'm gonna make some people mad with this. It's going to trigger you a little bit. But just be honest with yourself for a second. Again, it's just you and me. You're there all by yourself. How much time do we spend talking about Colin Kaepernick? As bad as you might think the kneeling is and all of that stuff, do you think that the Colin Kaepernick kneeling story is more important than the story about the federal government admitting and instituting a rule into their accounting standards that says they can keep two sets of books from the American people? When history is told and your children, you've got that innocent little 3-year-old toddler that you just love and you have all the dreams in the world for, when they get to be 40 years old, 37 years from now, do you think taking a stand against Nike for signing Colin Kaepernick is going to make a lick of difference to their lives? Or do you think maybe holding our elected leaders, air quotes here in the studio, accountable to the fact that they are admitting that they carry two sets of books? There is no credibility in any financial federal documentation anymore. There can't be, because they've admitted they can hide what they're spending money on. just to me, that's the important story, not who Nike signed as their spokesman. Well, pick your battles. I know a lot of things are simple. I don't give you the simple stuff, but I do give you the truth. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, the rest of the WYAB program, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.